Welcome back to Ashburton. We're about ready to start now.
It's Political Commentary.
This morning with Rod Oram. Kia ora, Rod. How are you?
Atamare, Rachel. Very well, thank you.
Hey, it's lovely to have you on the show, especially because I think last time we spoke to you, we were at a very different alert level system and a lot's changed since then. So quite a bit to talk about today.
Indeed. Thanks for having me on the programme.
I thought we might start with some of this discussion around the wage subsidy that's going on at the moment. National's been quite critical of the government not extending the wage subsidy for the extra 4 days that Aucklanders proposed to be in level 3-4. And the government's kind of pushed back on that, saying it's not as easy as just extending it. What is actually the technical difficulties around extending the subsidy, and do you think they should have tried to extend it?
Collins is asking the wrong question. It's not a technical difficulty in the sense of software in Treasury or government's offices. It's rather more the strategy we're on, which is to be able to cope with flare-ups of community and transmission in ways that don't include lockdowns. Mm. So by the time you've got really good tracing and testing going on, then you can do that, and that's the goal. So the real question is, would the government still offer wage subsidies to companies that are still struggling in terms of seriously reduced revenues in an ongoing period, that not just in and out of lockdown? That's the real question. And I think that's the issue. I don't know, because I haven't spoken to the government about this. but my sense is that that's the real issue at heart, because it really comes down to a deeper point, which is that just as our response to COVID has evolved very rapidly, and indeed it seems the virus to some extent as well, the conditions that business are facing are evolving very rapidly, and therefore the government's support mechanisms need to too.
So obviously our response, as you've just mentioned, has to change kind of all the time, and that support package must reflect that too. Do you see sort of positive indications from the way the government's been moving that is something they might be considering or even actioning at the moment?
I'm not sure specifically about the wage subsidies, because that gets to be trickier to work out in terms of whether a company should be having a subsidy because it still has a seriously reduced revenues. That was much easier to do when it in a lockdown. That's you can just make the case blanket for all companies and trust them that they are applying in good faith. Obviously, there has been some checking going on, but there's too many companies to do it on any other basis other than trust. But in terms of other helpful signs, there was the financial grant system for business that was a government guarantee behind banks lending to companies, which had very poor take-up for all kinds of reasons. It was very bureaucratic. The maximum money was a little $500,000, and the banks seemed unenthusiastic about stepping up and lending the money. In fact, a very small sum amount of money was lent. That program has been substantially revised. So the upper limit is now $5 million. It's now available to companies with revenue up to, I think, $200 million. Mm. And that's a very good sign of evolution of support. And now it's up to the banks to come through and follow up and get behind this in the way they didn't in the, I'd have to say, rather more poorly designed first version of that support.
So obviously, I think it's been a pretty across-the-board agreed thing that having these financial supports for people struggling through the COVID situations, especially the lockdowns and also this kind of fallout period, has been quite widely well-received or agreed that it needs to exist. But this is, of course, going to create a huge amount of debt, and that has been something that's been a bit more politically debated, I guess. What are your thoughts about the debt situation that we're going to be facing as a country, and is it going to be severe? Are there ways around it? Like, what are your thoughts about that going forward, kind of more into the long term, Rod?
Yes. By comparison with pretty much every other developed country, our debt situation is far more favourable. Our government debt as a percentage of GDP was around about 20% going into this, and it's forecast to peak at just under 60%, which is still low. There are countries that were going into this back early in the year with GDP debt to GDP levels around 100%, and they're going north from there. So we should be very comfortable about 60%. The next question is, over time, that has to be paid back, and that depends largely on this, good fiscal management by the government, but also the strength of the economy. Now, National's view on this is that it would push that very hard and bring that money back, that debt level back, very, very rapidly. And that's left the question about, there's about an $80 billion gap in those two scenarios. How are you going to bridge that gap? And that's where National starts to get unrealistic about saying that it can lift the growth rate in New Zealand by 1% percentage point a year over what Labour can achieve. Governments don't have that kind of influence on an economy. You have to do all sorts of other things to make economies grow faster, and developed economies like ours don't grow fast anyway. 3% is a very, very good rate. So the argument and the debate should be round about how do you support companies now over the next few years? Mm. And National's view is that it's businesses that create jobs, and therefore it's leaving it up to businesses to invest. But that completely begs the question, is that those businesses still need government support, and that's what National is not being articulate about. But nor is Labour. Labour is not talking about the sort of financial mechanisms that are in place. We would need to be. We can't do something like having an enhanced provincial growth fund, for example. I mean, there's all sorts of questions about the nature of that sort of response anyway. We need to have some new ways for government to support business in the recovery. And that's work that it would be wonderful to see. It should be what elections are about, to have that debated over the next 6 weeks, six, 7 weeks before the election. Unfortunately, I don't think that's going to happen. I think that a lot of the election is going to revolve very much around the style and credibility of the leaders of the two main parties.
It is certainly shaping up to be quite a different election campaign, even if you put the lockdown situations aside, because obviously that's changed our election run-up quite significantly. But that seems to be something that does come through quite strongly, as it's going to be a lot about styles and ideologies even a little bit. Do you worry about certain policies being perhaps a little bit swept under the carpet or just put on the back burner a bit in this kind of lead-up period, Rod?
Yes, I worry about it for two reasons. First of all, we need to be having those debates and discussions about how we're going to progress. And I've been around the country having those sorts of discussions in regions to hear what they're up to. And I see it working better at a provincial level than I'm doing at a national level. But the second worry is that this form of personality-based politics, the mana of the respective leaders, isn't very helpful, because what people I think need more than anything else is a degree of confidence, a high degree of confidence that in total, so that's government and we as a community, as citizens, are on top of COVID, and therefore we have the confidence to get our businesses back on our feet, on their feet, get our lives back up and running best we can. And so this really needs to be an election around that. And I don't think just pitting one personality of a party leader against another actually leads us very far, particularly when Judith Collins is a complete unknown quantity in this as to what her temperament would be like in leading a government through these incredibly difficult challenges.
I do just want to get your thoughts briefly, Rod, on what you think this level three lockdown for Auckland is going to mean a little bit more broadly for the kind of economic situation of the country. Because, of course, we're a big part of the whole country. We've got most of, I think it's almost a third of the population here. What do you think this is going to mean for the rest of the economy going forward from this point?
It's easier to talk about it's easy to talk about the rest of the country, and I think the message is there. A lot is still going on, and therefore the impact of Auckland in lockdown has, by and large, not been severe. I mean, it's obviously severe for Air New Zealand because they've drastically cut back their flights, and there's obviously all sorts of cases like that. But in terms of people getting on with their activities, that's good. So a lot of things have just reverted back to Zoom rather than, you know, people travelling. And some things have been postponed, but they'll be picked up in due course. In Auckland, again, it's bothered me a lot because there's been a lot of talk about the cost of this, and these extra few days are going to cost $500 million in the Auckland economy. The problem with that analysis is it's taking a very big but inadequate number, which is GDP, which is a very poor way of measuring what's actually going on in an economy, and extrapolating that 4 days in Auckland is going to cost $500 million out of GDP. But GDP was $314 billion in New Zealand in the year to March. So it's a very small sum. Now, I know that's not much comfort to people who are really struggling through these extra 4 days, but collectively, we have to keep that sense of perspective. And by far the most important thing is to be able to, as has happened over the last 10 days, drastically catch up on the promises that government had made and hadn't fulfilled about testing and tracing. But now that looks to be in far better shape than it was. And it looks as though, hopefully, although this current cluster is turning into quite a big one, I think there is still confidence it's contained. That's the important thing, and because it's that containment that gives confidence that then enables businesses and the economy at large, and indeed society at large, to get back to where it was before this most recent lockdown. And again, I hasten to, I really want to stress this point, that if we continue to develop these systems well and properly and execute on them, it's going to be absolutely possible and certainly very desirable to be able to deal with other flare-ups without resorting to lockdowns, or if they are lockdowns, they're quite localized, and the rest of the country can keep going at a low alert level.
Thank you so much for your time this morning, Rod. It's always a pleasure to have you on the show. I really enjoyed that.
Well, thank you. It's always great to chat through these issues.
It is.
Thank you.
We'll talk to you again in a couple of weeks. See you then.
Okay.
Take care.
Bye.
Bye.
You just heard a bit of political commentary
with Rod.